بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير، فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فهل عسيتم إن توليتم أن تفسدوا في الأرض وتقطعوا أرحامكم؟ أولئك الذين لعنهم الله فأصمهم وأعمى أبصارهم. وعن كعب بن عجرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج يوما إلى المنبر فقال حين ارتقى درجة: آمين. ثم رقي أخرى فقال: آمين. ثم رقي الثالثة فقال: آمين. فلما نزل عن المنبر وفرغ قلنا: يا رسول الله، لقد سمعنا منك كلاما. قال: وسمعتموه؟ قالوا: نعم. قال: إن جبريل عرض بي حين ارتقيت درجة فقال: بعد من أدرك أبويه عند الكبر أو أحدهما فلم يدخل الجنة؟ قال: قلت: آمين. وقال: بعد من ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليك؟ قلت: آمين. ثم قال: بعد من أدرك رمضان فلم يغفر له؟ قلت: آمين. أو كما قال. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, it is basic medical knowledge that if a person wants to improve his health, boost his immune system, reduce the risk of becoming sick and unwell, then basically he has to do two things amongst others. A, he needs to rid his system of bad eating habits. Be it processed food, fizzy drinks, chocolates, candy, smoking, drinking, and as they would say today, the number one killer is sugar, either eliminate it from the system or they talk of healthy alternatives, xylitol and stevia, and you get the debittered one as well. I'm not marketing, but they say so. So that's the first thing he needs to do. And coupled with that, he needs to introduce a balanced diet, eat in moderation, exercise. There needs to be fiber, there needs to be roughage, there needs to be some good fruit, some greens, etc. If he can do these two things, then he will strengthen his immune system. He will reduce the risk of becoming sick and unwell. In a like manner, if a person wants to align his spiritual self, he wants to get his alignment correct for his spirituality, he has to equally rid himself of those evil actions as a result of which he has become the victim of the wrath of Allah and the curse of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And coupled with that, he has to introduce those virtuous actions in his life through which he will become deserving of the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the blessings of Allah. Muhammad ibn Wasi' rahimahullah was a great tabi'i. He went to visit Bilal ibn Abi Burayda. Wa Bilalun fi hashamihi wa khadamihi, and Bilal was in his pomp and glory, flamboyance, wealth, affluence. So Bilal, you know, trumpeting himself and throwing out his arrogance because of the wealth that he had. Allah speaks about the two brothers in Surah Kahf, that when the one brother entered his orchard, then because of his arrogance, he said, Ma adhunnu an tabida hadhihi abada. I don't think my empire will ever perish. Some people verbalize it, other people's body language give off that same arrogance. Hazrat Qari Sahib recited so beautifully Surah Alaq, in that Allah says, Kalla innal insana layatgha arra'ahu istaghna. Verily man tends to rebel when he perceives himself self-sufficient. When he thinks I'm independent, I'm done now, I'm not indebted to you, I'm not obligated to you, I can fly by myself. That's the time he becomes arrogant, he becomes obstinate. So Bilal ibn Abi Buraydah said to Muhammad ibn Wasi' rahimahullah, كَيْفَ تَرَى بَيْتَنَا? What's your opinion on my house and my empire? So these were great, he was a sage of the age. These were not people who had the transitory eye, they had the deeper eye. He said, إِنَّ بَيْتَكَ لَطَيِّبُ وَالْجَنَّةُ أَطْيَبْ مِنْهُ. Your house is beautiful, but nothing to rave about. Jannah is way more awesome than your house. وَذِكْرُ النَّارِ يُلْهِ عَنْهُ. And if you think of hell and the punishment of Akhirah, you'll find less time to boast and brag about your material possession. So he changed strides for a moment and he says, okay, مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْقَدْرِ? What's your take on destiny, the article of fate? Predestiny, taqdeer. Allah speaks about it. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ. That we calculate, we proportion, we estimate. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. We've created everything with a measure. مَا تَقُولُ فِي الْقَدْرِ? So look at the amazing response of this great sage of the age. He said, جِرَانُكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ فَكِّرْ فِيهِمْ فَإِنَّ فِيهِمْ لَشُغْلًا. Listen brother, people in your neighborhood are dying daily. Maybe you want to focus about the transitory nature of life, how short life is, and that ultimately we're making our way to Akhirah. And if you preoccupy yourself with that, then you won't have time to try and unpack the intricacies of taqdeer and fate. Insan ki zindagi is qadar mukhtasar hai ke wo muhabbat ka haq bhi ada nahi kar sakta, na jaane nafrat karne ke liye log kahan se waqt nikalte hain. Insan ki zindagi is qadar mukhtasar hai ke wo muhabbat ka haq bhi ada nahi kar sakta, na jaane nafrat karne ke liye log itna waqt kahan se nikalte hain. Life is so short that we cannot express our love adequately. I don't know where people find time to hate, despise and dislike. So he said, okay, leave the topic of qadr, leave the topic of death, make a dua for me. You know, the typical way out. So he said, مَا يَنْفَعُكَ دُعَائِي وَعَلَى بَابِكَ كَذَا وَكَذَا كُلٌّ يَقُولُ إِنَّكَ ظَلَمْتَهُمْ يَرْتَفِعُ دُعَاؤُهُمْ قَبْلَ دُعَائِي. I can make a dua for you now, my brother, but there are 10 people standing at the door. Each one of them claims that they are victims of your exploitation and your abuse. Sometimes we don't realize, you know, I like to be comfortable. Okay. No. Rayar. No, take it inshallah, I'll settle. There are 10 people at your door. Each one of them are claiming that they're victims of your exploitation. Their curse will be heard before my prayer is answered in your favor. I know of a woman who lived with her mother-in-law and subsequently she passed on the mother-in-law, and this is a relatively pious, noble home. And this sister cried with a crack in her voice and said, 15 years has lapsed since my mother-in-law has passed away. I still can't find it within myself to read one Surah Ikhlas and make dua for her. I don't condone that attitude, but surely that is a reflection of the extent of the infliction upon that woman. I'm not talking of an irreligious family. I'm talking of a very Allah-conscious family. 15 years has lapsed
since my mom-in-law has passed on, I cannot bring myself to a point, and vice versa. I don't want to speak on one side from both sides. I'm just saying, sometimes we think the connotations of exploitation and abuse are only associated to those in power. In the 12th juz in Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ. And do not incline towards those who oppress, lest you are also seized and gripped by the punishment. So in Madarik al-Tanzil it's mentioned, قَالَ الْمُوَفَّقْ تِلْمِيدُ الزَّمَخْشَرِ, who was the student of Zamakhshari, who was, an absolute authority in tafsir, and he was an erudite scholar, that صَلَّ خَلْفَ مَنْ قَرَأَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He was in prayer, and the imam recited this in the congregational prayer, غُشِيَ عَلَيْهِ. He became unconscious. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقْ, when he became conscious, people asked him, why you passed out? He said, هَذَا بِمَنْ رَكَّنَ إِلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَ فَكَيْفَ بِالظَّالِمِ. هَذَا بِمَنْ رَكَّنَ إِلَى مَنْ وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Do not incline, do not associate, do not assimilate with the tyrant, with the oppressor, with the dictator, with the one who is, abuses, lest you are also gripped. This is the repercussion and the consequences of the one who inclines. What about the tyrant himself? What about the tyrant himself? And Hasan Basri's call is also mentioned there. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمَعَ الدِّينَ فِي لَائِينَ لَا تَطْغَوْ وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى. Allah has gathered or explained or simplified deen between two negations, two no. وَلَا تَطْغَوْ أي وَلَا تَخْرُجُوا مِنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Do not rebel, do not transgress, do not transcend the boundaries, the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not oppress. In principle, if you do these two things, it's a synopsis. And Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah's quotation is also mentioned. I just have a flash of it there. Inna fi jahannam, in jahannam there is a valley. May Allah protect us. La yaskunuhu illa al-qurra az-zairuna lil-muluk. This valley of hell will only be inhabited by scholars who assimilate with tyrant rulers. May Allah protect us. لا يسكنه إلا القراء الزائرون للملوك. Those who associate and assimilate with tyrants. You know, there's a beautiful incident of one person who was a scholar. So the king of the time asked him, لما لا تزورنا? Why don't you visit us? He said, لأني أردت أن تكون من خير الملوك حيث تزور العلماء ولا أكون من شر العلماء حيث أزور الملوك. Wow. He said, because the king asked him, but everybody comes to visit me, why don't you visit me? He said, because I wanted you to be the best of kings who visit the ulama, and I didn't want to be the worst of scholars who visit the leaders. Wow. So what did I say, my brother? If you want to improve your health, boost your immune system, we got to do two things. And of course, the focus here is from the spiritual perspective. We also need to do the same thing. We need to come out and free and rid ourselves of those actions through which we've become victims of the curse of Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we need to inculcate and imbibe within us those actions through which we become deserving of the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and the blessings of Allah. The hadith I quoted before you is a very famous hadith. Ka'b ibn Ujra radiyallahu anhu narrates, said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the pulpit and he said Ameen. And he ascended the second pulpit and he said Ameen. And he ascended the third step and he said Ameen. And when he descended, Ka'b ibn Ujra radiyallahu anhu said, we observe something strange, unusual and peculiar. And he said, أَوَسَمِعْتُمُوهُ? And really, did you take note of it? And they said, absolutely. He said, we observed on each step, there was a pause, there was an amin, there was a reflection. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, correctly. When I got on the first step, Jibreel came to me and he said, woe be to the one who was blessed with both of his parents in old age, or one at least, and he was unable to enter Jannah through serving them. So Jibreel cursed them, and I said, yeah, this warrants a curse. I endorse the curse of Jibreel. I agree with Jibreel in this curse. And I got on to the next step, and Jibreel said, بَعُدَ مَنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ. Woe be to the one in whose presence your blessed name is mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he does not send salutations upon you. Jibreel cursed and I endorsed his curse and I said, Ameen. And then when I got onto the third step, Jibreel said, woe be to the one who finds the blessed, sacred, momentous month of Ramadan and does not capitalize and exploit on the sacred month and earn pardon and forgiveness for himself. And I said, Ameen to such a curse. He deserves the wrath of Allah because of this crime of his. Hakim al-Ummah, in one of his writings, and I read this in his Mawa'id, and I was blown away. And the more I read about him, the more I realize what knowledge Allah had endowed him with. And the more you realize how shallow our knowledge is. He raises the question and he says that in Islam there are many crimes that are more heinous, more severe, more intense. Person perpetrates the crime of zina, theft, etc. Outwardly, apparently, these crimes do not appear to be so heinous and intense. Why did Jibreel curse such three individuals? And why did the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam endorse this curse? Whereas we know that whenever he was asked, curse a nation, inni lam ub'ath la'ana wa innama bu'ithtu rahma. I don't know how to curse. My Allah has not sent me to curse. My Allah has sent me to teach as a mercy, as a source of kindness. But here Jibreel curses categorically, emphatically, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam endorses the curse. And he writes so amazingly. He says, it's human nature when people cannot deliver on a simple task, it angers you more. If you give a person a complex task and then he doesn't deliver, then you say, well, again, I know it was quite challenging. Probably I should have rethinked it myself. I shouldn't have told him, given his age, he's new. I think my mistake, no worries. But if you give someone a simple task, and again, I marvel at the expression of the Quran. You tell a child, take this key and just go next door and give it to the uncle. That's it. And then an hour later you meet him, oh, I thought I had to give it to the fourth neighbor. And I left it with the domestic helper. And then what's the father like? You're good for nothing, man. You know, the Quran speaks in a different context about some people. أَيْنَمَا يُوَجِّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ. There are some people, wherever you direct them, they just cannot deliver. So human nature, when people cannot accomplish a basic task, it will provoke you, anger you, enrage you much more. Like, I didn't ask you for anything complex. It was simple, it was ABC, it was basic. Hence, the Prophet of Allah curses that such a simple thing, to serve your parents, to send salutations on the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to exploit Ramadan and have your sins forgiven, you cannot do this, you deserve Jibreel's curse and my Ameen. Then he expounds and elucidates, and it gets more intriguing and riveting. We can agree in principle that to send salutations on Nabi alayhi salam is easy. It's simple. There's nothing to it. Serving your parents is intrinsic. It's part of your nature. وَدَيْنُ النَّاسِ يَوْمًا سَيُقْضَى وَدَيْنُ أَبِيكَ لَنْ تَقْوَى عَلَيْهِ. You can discharge the obligations of others sooner or later, but you can never offset the favor of your father. وَدَيْنُ النَّاسِ يَوْمًا. It only takes you to become a father to realize how the mind of that man is running relentlessly for the growth, the development and the protection of his children. It just takes you to become a father and realize this. But some might counter argue and say the observing of fast is a tall order. And especially those that are in summer countries in the Western world, and it can run up to 18, 19 hours, and each year we encounter it, etc. But subhanAllah, he gives such a beautiful answer to explain that the fasting of Ramadan is also easy to further reiterate and impress the fact that the Nabi of Allah is cursing, or Jibreel is cursing, and the Nabi of Allah is endorsing, because something simple was asked of you. Can we as an ummah not tap and acknowledge and exploit it? He gives two explanations. The first is that when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Mi'raj, then Musa alayhi salam told him that 50 prayer is fairly daunting. It's challenging. It's a tall order. Your ummah is weak and feeble. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam implores him to go back to Allah and request concession. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went back and forth until 50 was reduced to 5. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam acknowledged the intercession of Musa and equally accepted the feebleness of his ummah. But we don't find that the Nabi of Allah requested Allah to reduce the 30 fast of Ramadan to 3, knowing very well that his ummah was weak. Why? Because he was aware that this is something my ummah can bear. But then he gives a very academic reply. And this is in the context of this, and it has broader implications as well. And that's the beauty of the Quran. So he says, the answer to making your fast easy is not to remind yourself how difficult it is. No, it's a long fast. It's a hot day. As long as you keep yourself occupied, time will pass by and you won't realize it. And that is precisely what is expected of us. And then he gives the analogy of the Quran, and he says that this commentary of minds can answer many different aspects of life. And it's an answer to many of our challenges. We're going through difficulties, sometimes emotional, psychological. So when Allah told the mother of Musa, and I beg for your undivided attention, when Allah told the mother of Musa, put Musa in the basket and put the basket in the river Nile. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And we inspired the mom of Musa, put the baby that is Moses in the basket and put the basket in the river Nile. Now this is a mother, it's not easy, it's challenging. In fact, Allah says that إِن كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. She was on the verge of divulging to the people that that's my child sailing in the basket. But because we strengthened her heart and we gave her comfort, she restrained and contained herself. And when Allah gives peace to someone, my brother, then he can go through the greatest of tragedies, but there will be a smile on his face. When Allah gives peace to a person, then you listen. I mean, you've heard interviews now of people who lost their families in New Zealand. And the Muslims are grappling to understand, like, how can a person reconcile? And this is the testimony of Iman. So one thing we need to know, Allah has not said in the Quran that because of faith and iman and submission, you won't be tested. Rather, Allah said, because of iman, I will hold you firm through your test. So you say, but I'm a believer. Well, that's exactly what Allah said. Allah said, He will test you, and because of faith, Allah will give you strength. You see it and you are baffled. Like, really, this is iman. And that's why for a believer, now when I was in Cape Town 2 days ago, I was speaking on this. I said, for a believer, there is only a win-win situation. قل هل تربصون بنا إلا إحدى الحسنيين. Tell them, whatever infliction you want to come upon us, for us it's only one of two goods. Either it's martyrdom and direct Jannah, or it's pain and sabr and ultimate Jannah. So it's only a win-win. قُلْ هَلْ I wish you could understand this in Arabic. قُلْ هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. So one of the things that the kuffar had was, you know, invoking curses on Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا وَيَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِرِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ. That they consider zakat to be a burden and they anticipate in tragedies to surround you. Allah says, may tragedies grip them, may it seize them. Then they couldn't do anything. There were people amongst them. Can I relax a little bit? There were people amongst them. So there were people amongst the disbelievers that they had an eye. And with that eye, we talk of hasad, we talk of nazar, we talk of the evil eye. So their gaze was so strong that they could drop a camel. And they also tried to use that kind of venom and poison to drop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. So they came to try and throw out venom, but of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely. So then when they couldn't do anything, they said, okay, we'll just wait for him to die. So Allah said, will you live forever? نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. Wow. Wow, man. Like, wow. نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. I'm good. Jazakallah. For a believer, it's a win-win situation. So Allah said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. By virtue of faith, he'll keep you firm. You look at these interviews, a woman lost her husband and a child. I mean, it's on YouTube, you've seen it, I've seen it, you've seen it on social media. A woman lost her parents, lost her son. I miss them, I yearn for them, I pine for them, but I know my Lord has a greater plan for them. What besides faith can make you articulate this? So Allah said, we gave strength. When Allah gives strength, then a young child can even tell a tyrant ruler on his face, what you're doing is absurd, what you're doing is preposterous. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. And we strengthened and empowered and energized those youths who stood before the tyrant ruler. And he said, our Lord is one Allah. We will not hint or imply anything else. Because if we dare say this, then that is completely incorrect and out of line. You wouldn't want to say anything to your boss, lest it compromises your potential job or your interview or your 13th check. And in front of the tyrant ruler, the dictator of the time, Allah said, we empowered. So anyway, Allah tells the mother of Musa, put Musa, we're talking just to keep focus, the three things are easy. And we need to align ourselves, we need to come out of the curses of Nabi alayhi salam. You run in your business on interest. Don't deceive me or the world with your umrah. Allah and His Nabi's curse is with such a person. That's not my words. I can't sugarcoat this for you in any way. That's the truth. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is in the throes of death. So people around him start crying. So he said, why are you crying? They said, نَبْكِي عَلَى الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي يَنْقَطِعُ عَنَّا عِنْدَ مَوْتِكَ. We're crying, you leaving with you will go a chunk of knowledge. Who will substitute it? He said, I am going, but the Quran and Hadith will remain till the end of time. فَأَعْرِضُوا عَلَى الْكَلَامِ فَأَعْرِضُوا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ وَلَا تَعْرِضُوهُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ. So, analyze every piece of information through the light of Quran. And don't analyze the Quran through the view or the opinion or the column or the article of anyone. You analyze whatever is being thrown out to you, put it through the lenses of the Quran. No, the Quran refutes this. No, the Quran doesn't allow me to buy into this here. No, the Quran is not on board. The Quran says, Allah is at war with me. Chapter close. Don't subject the Quran to your findings. Subject your findings to the Quran. And I promise you, this is a broad principle, because today there's chaos in the world. There are many people, okay, we're going to digress and I don't want to go that way. So, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's money is stole. Put Musa in the basket, put the basket in the River Nile. Allah says, we gave her strength. Because we gave her strength, she could do it. And that's what it is. Allah gives you strength. Otherwise, how else can you physically, you know, continue? The ulama have written that Allah told Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter his son. This also I read in the writings of Hakim al-Ummah. That's the most supreme sacrifice that could be asked from any human. Because even if Allah were to tell Ibrahim, claim your own life, that also comparatively is easier.
وَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنِ اقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَوِ اخْرُجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ مِّنْهُمْ.
Allah speaks about this. And if we had to tell them to claim their own lives, and He writes why the claiming of your own life is easier, because to claim your own life on the will of Allah, hypothetically, if there was an injunction, but there isn't that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a painful ordeal and a process from the time you receive the injunction till the time you execute it. But if Allah were to tell you, as Allah told Sayyidina Ibrahim, to offer and sacrifice his son, then it's painful from the time you receive the injunction, and the pain continues after the execution, because your child has moved on, but the trauma lingers on. So, look at this here, and may Allah give us the ability to read the writings of our aslaf, who had understood Quran and Sunnah. So Allah told her to put the child in the basket. Then Allah said, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't fear, don't grieve. So Hakim al-Ummah, it took me like, you know, I read over like 20, 30, 40 pages to gather this whole explanation of his, which was mutafarriq, but it was so intriguing. He's asked the question, I'm giving you the verse, and I'm going to try and simplify it, so each one can appreciate how amazing the Quran is. Allah tells the mother, put the child in the basket. And then Allah restricts the mother and limits the mother, don't fear, don't grieve. He raises the question, how do we reconcile between the motherly love and the fact that grief and fear are non-voluntary emotions, they're ghair ikhtiyari. You don't grieve by choice. You don't fear by choice. You gripped by grief. You gripped by fear. Yet categorically the Quran says, don't fear, don't grieve.
وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي.
He writes, gham and huzn is غير اختياري حدوثا but اختياري بقاء. Oh my word. Oh my word. Quran is وراء الوراء. Then you want to tell us of psychology today. Fear and grief are not voluntary by inception, but they are voluntary by continuation. The inception of fear is outside your control. But to nip it in the bud, to contain it, or to allow it to consume you, that's within your control. Grief can grip you, that's natural. It's going to grip you, that's a human emotion. You weren't able to limit or restrict or block or bar the inception of grief. But then for you to allow it to run with you and to consume you and incapacitate you and paralyze you. That's within your choice. And he said, how do you do that? You don't remind yourself. Don't remind yourself. And that's precisely what he ties up with Saum. Don't tell yourself how long the fast is. Don't tell yourself how long the hours are. What they tell you today in psychology? Focus on the positives. That focus on the positives and divert your mind objectively. That's the principle, like every other principle you deduce from the Quran. And where do we learn? Where do we get the cue? What did Allah tell the mother of Musa? Inna radduhu ilayk wa ja'iluhu minal mursaleen. Focus on the positive. Today he sails as an infant. Tomorrow he comes back as a prophet. Inna radduhu ilayk. We will return him to you. Wa ja'iluhu minal mursaleen. And we will make him amongst the prophets and the messengers. So the message is, don't focus. Because if you're going to remind yourself, it's going to become cumbersome. It's going to be difficult. And then he also elaborates on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we'll start the talk. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, يَأْتِ الشَّيْطَانُ أَحَدَكُمْ. The devil comes to you and he says, مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا. Who created this? Then you say, Allah. Then the devil says, who created the sky? Then you say, Allah. Then the devil comes and says, مَنْ خَلَقَ رَبَّكْ. Who created your Lord? فَإِذَا بَلَغَهُ فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ وَلْيَنْتَهِ. When you reach that point, then seek refuge in Allah and desist and abstain. Now he raises the question, وَلْيَنْتَهِ عَنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ. Desist from what? If you say desist from waswasa, desist from the thought, or desist from the whisper, then that, I hope I'm not too academic here, then that will mean that the waswasa and the thought is ikhtiyari. It's within your choice. If you're saying, وَلْيَنْتَهِ عَنِ الْوَسْوَسَ, that when the devil brings you to the point and he blocks you off and he corners you and he says, okay, who created? You say, Allah. Who created this? Allah. Who created Allah? So when you get to the point, the Prophet ﷺ is giving you the formula, the recipe, then seek refuge in Allah and desist and abstain. Now desist from what? If you're saying desist from waswasa, and that is the whisper of the devil, and of course that's the talent given to the devil, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِسَوْتِكَ. Sotun, those that are skilled in the exegesis of the Quran, will tell you too. Either it means music, or it means the whisper of the devil. But if you say it means abstain from whisper, then it means whisper is within your control. And he says, hence, it doesn't mean that. وَلْيَنْتَهِ عَنِ الْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِلَى الْوَسْوَسَ. Abstain from focusing on the whisper of the devil. Anyway, that's academic. Coming back to the point. The three people that the Prophet ﷺ endorsed of the curse of Jibreel is that they were given a simple thing. And that mindset, we need to have that mindset. That fasting is there for my own purification. As-sawmu, ibadatu sadat. Wa ibadatu sadat, sadatul ibadat. As-sawmu, ibadatu sadat. Wa ibadatu sadat, sadatul ibadat. Wow, you got to appreciate this in Arabic. Fasting is the worship of leaders. And the worship of leaders is the leader of worship. Is the leader of worship. So let's just analyze these three ahadith or these three people, and coming back to my opening comments, to align yourself. Physically you want to align, you got to get rid. And if we have to compare between the two, one is to eliminate the bad habits and one is to introduce the good diet. Everyone would agree that the former is more important than the latter. Because the impact of a good diet is very much dependent on how much you eliminate your body of the bad things. So if you still drink and you still smoke and you jog and you exercise and you have healthy things, but you minimize and compromise the impact of the good because of the bad habits. So you might be taking the du'as of people, but you've hurt your parents and earned the curse of Jibreel. Where are you going to go with it? I've mentioned this and I say it, I found it to be one of the most profound quotations when it comes to speaking about parents. And it's in Arabic again. كُلَّمَا أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَكْتُبْ عَنْ أُمِّي
وجدت نفسي أمي. كلما أردت أن أكتب عن أمي وجدت نفسي أمي. So أم means mother and أم also means unlettered. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم ذلك بأنهم قالوا ليس علينا في الأميين سبيل ويقولون على الله الكذب وهم يعلمون. So it's Arabic, it's linguistics, it's semantics. In essence, the poet says, whenever I want to put pen to paper about how profound my mom is, I just find that I am mute and I'm dumb. I lack all skill and all. I'm just defeated. I don't know where to begin to speak about how great my mom is. The narration of Nasa'i, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, a person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, Inni aznabtu dhanban azima. I've perpetrated a major crime. Fahalli min tawbah. Is there any hope for me of tawbah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Hallaka min ummin? Is your mom alive? He said, no. He said, Hallaka min khala? Is your maternal aunt alive? I said, yes. The questioner said, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Fabirraha. Then go and serve your aunt. This will be an atonement and expiation for the crime and the offense you perpetrated. Ishaq bin Ismail says that I heard from Hussein, and he said I heard from Muzahim ibn Zawad ibn Ulba. Mata akhun li. I read this in Makarimul Akhlaq. My brother had passed on. Wakana barram bi abihi. And my brother was very faithful, dutiful, and obedient to his father, to our father. فَرَأَيْتُهُ فِي مَا يَرَى النَّائِمِ. So I seen him in a dream post his demise. And I said to him, إِنَّ أَبَاكَ يُحِبُّ أَن يَعْلَمْ إِلَىٰ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ صِرْتْ. You've moved on, you passed away, but dad is pining to know how have things turned out for you in the next world. So how are you doing in Akhirah? And the key thing is, he was very obedient to his father. So he said, إِنِّي فِي سِدْرٍ مَخْدُودٍ وَطَلْحٍ مَنْضُودٍ وَظِلٍ مَمْدُودٍ وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ. He said, you want to know where I am? He said, yeah, please tell me. I am in the thornless lotus trees of Jannah. إِنِّي فِي وَطَلْحٍ مَنْضُودٍ. So I am in these sidrim makhdood, the lotus trees. Makhdood, the thorns are taken away. Then the fruit are layer upon layer. Talhim mandood, dhillim mamdood. This extended shade and cover. I've probably mentioned this, and if I haven't, then let me say it. And if I have, you know, for the benefit of those who have not. When I was once in France for a program, and I will not forget this. And I had the last talk as I was leaving out to the airport, and it was just Arabs, and I gave a talk in Arabic in my broken, humble way. And as I concluded my talk and I was leaving, then a sheikh came to me, an Arab brother with his young daughter, about 9 years old, and he's lahba lahba, and he brings her up. And you know, Qari Saleh recited in the 11 Jews, Allah said, Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun lahumul bushra lahumul bushra. Those who obey Allah, for them is glad tidings. The majority of the scholars expound on bushra, glad tidings, as a good dream that they see or someone sees on their behalf. This is the majority of the scholars. There's almost ittifaq on the interpretation of Bushraya. So anyway, he says, I have my daughter, she had a dream last night. So please bring her. This is a sweet, innocent child. You know what, pure, wholesome, nafsan zakiyya, a clean soul. And she said, Ya am, ra'aytu nafsi fil jannah al-bariha. This girl is saying, uncle, last night I seen myself in Jannah. The tears are just trickling down my eyes. وَأَعْطَانِي اللَّهُ طَلْحَ. And then Allah gave me this. I'm telling you one-on-one. She's telling it to me in Arabic as I'm narrating it to you. Then Allah gave me this fruit which looked very much like a banana. But munawwar. It was radiant. These were her words. It's indelible in my mind. It was bright. So I called my sister and she started eating along with me. Then I seen some other people and I called them, but the angels blocked them off.
So I'm just crying, and I said to the father, I just embraced him, and I said that, you know what, there is great future in this dream, there is a great vision in this dream, and there is a great sayakunu laha sha'nun, there is a great future to her, may Allah protect her, and you look after her, there is great prosperity lying ahead of her. So anyway, he says, I seen my brother in a dream, I asked my brother, how did you fare? This is what my brother told me. The mother of Mis'ar, istasqat ummu Mis'arin minhu ma'an fil layl. His mother asked him by night, my son, go fetch me some water. Faqama faja'aha bihi. He stood up, he brought the water and came. Waqad namat. When he came, she had fallen off to sleep. Fakariha an yadhhab fatatlubuhu wa la tajiduhu wa kariha an yuqidaha. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ قَائِمًا وَالْإِنَاءُ فِي يَدِهِ حَتَّى أَصْبَحْ. So he stood, now when he came back with the vessel, he said, oops, my mom is sleeping. Do I nudge her? But then I'm disturbing her sleep. If I go away and perhaps her eyes open up and she looks and I'm not here. He stood with the vessel in his hand till the crack and the flush of dawn. And today's young boy, one's growth in his life, boy, will you take me to go visit my sister? Yeah, mommy, how long? What time? You need to give me a time. You need to know, I need to know exactly. There's a brother who Allah has blessed with a lot of wealth, and then his whole empire dipped, and till today he cries. And he says, I try and make sense of how things backfired. This went, that went, that went. And every time I try and make sense, I hear a voice of pain of my late mom calling from within me. And he's a very learned man. He's a very learned person. He's invited me for lectures as well. And I continue to make dua for him and comfort him. And he says, it was nothing more than my busy periods and my mom would call me. And I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm busy. Give me time. And I know those moments have actually, you know what, derailed my whole thing. Sufyan Thawri says, قَدِمَ رَجُلٌ مِّن سَفَرٍ فَصَادَفَ أُمَّهُ قَائِمَةً تُصَلِّ. One person returned from journey and he found his mother in prayer. فَكَرِهَ أَن يَقْعُدَ وَهِيَ قَائِمَةٌ. So he said, okay, well, my mother is standing in prayer, then how can I sit? So he stood. فَعَلِمَتْ مَا أَرَادَ فَطَوَّلَتْ لِيُجَرْ. Like, wow! He came back, and when he got home, his mom was in salah. So he stood. So his mom realized that he's standing out of respect. He doesn't want to sit because I'm standing. So his mom consciously prolonged her salah so he can be rewarded by standing longer. Wallah, when you read these people, their prolonging was for right reasons. Their shortening was for correct reasons. We prolong for the wrong reasons, we shorten for the wrong reason. فَأَسْمَعُ بُكَاءَ السَّبِيِّ فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي صَلَاتِي. How I cry when I read this hadith of Bukhari. My Nabi, his salah was something you and I cannot begin to imagine. And he would be in prayer for extended time. And he said, if I ever have to hear a child cry, immediately I shorten my salah, because that mom and child is now anxious and restless. I shorten my salah, so the match is starting at 7. Even the imam, Allah give hidayat. No, really my brother. I shorten my prayer for the wrong reason. I lengthen for the wrong reason. أول من سن الركعتين عند القتل خبيب. خبيب ابن عدي was the first who introduced the two units of prayer prior to being executed on the order of Allah. Just give me a moment, I just want to pray, then you can execute me. Wow, wow. Allahu Akbar. Only he knows what he had in that salah. He's so immersed, he's so engrossed. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. Your hearts will burst, my brother.
I'm watching you, my Nabi, when you stand in. And I'm also observing how you turn in amongst all those who prostrate. In that salah, he's so immersed and engrossed, then he cuts it short. And he says, listen, لَوْلَا أَن تَظَنُّوا أَنِّي إِنَّمَا طَوَّلْتُ جَزَعًا مِّنَ الْمَوْتِ لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. I was so engrossed and I was enjoying it, but I feared you'll interpret the prolonged prayer as apprehension to death. So I cut it short to let you know I'm not afraid of death. Wow. فَعَلِمَتْ مَا أَرَادْ. Oh man, my Allah puts the flesh in my heart now. Quran is wara'ul wara. Quran is wara'ul wara. It's just beyond us. Beyond, beyond, beyond. So the 94th chapter of the Quran, Suratul Inshirah, 8 verses. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the 7th verse, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Allah knows how I cry when I read this year. And my pain, my brother, is that we just not connecting to Quran. So Allah tells Nabi alayhi salam, when you've completed your task, see Ma'riful Quran. There are other commentaries, but this is the preferred tafsir. And I'll give you a synopsis of what has been captured there under these two verses. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. So the Nabi of Allah's entire life is in ibadah. There are those acts of worship which are indirect, and there are those acts of worship which are direct. So serving the creation, helping the needy, feeding the poor, conveying the message of Allah, that is also deen and da'wah. And then there are those actions which are direct. You physically in prayer, you physically in prostration, you recite in Quran. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, this verse sounds a strong message for people who are engaged in the service of deen, that it does not suffice for you to say, I'm helping the poor and the orphan, or I am teaching. After you've done that, you need to be energizing yourself as well. And then he gives an amazing, that teaching is a lifelong thing, but you can conclude it for the day. Helping the poor is something that will never end, but you can wrap it for the day. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. When you've concluded, when you've done, when you've wrapped up, when you've finalized, فَانْصَبْ. Then stand in prayer. But the word nasab means fatigue. So the linguistic expression of the ayah releases the message that don't only worship in ease and comfort, but let worship be to the point that you exert yourself. Fansab. And then he further writes, if you cannot tire yourself or exert, then even iltizam of the awrad is naw'un min an-nasab. Just to be punctual with your daily recitals, that I won't go to sleep till I don't read my Surah Waqia. I won't go to take my nap in the morning till I don't perform my Ishraq prayer or whatever it is. That iltizam of the awrad is also that. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَابْ فَعَلِمَتْ مَا أَرَادْ فَطَوَّلَتْ لِيُجَرْ. Wow. She realized that her son was standing in anticipation, so the mother lengthened the prayer. Ahmed ibn Jameel says that I heard from Fazari, and he says I heard from Abdullah, and he said Sami'tu Hishaman yadhkuru anil Hasan, that a person once came to Hasan Basri and he said Inni qad hajajtu wa qad adhinat li ummi fil hajji, that I have performed my obligatory hajj and my mom has consented for me to make an optional hajj. So Hassan Basri said, لَقَعْدَةٌ تَقْعُدُهَا عَلَى مَائِدَتِهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ حَجِّكَ. You know what? Your hajj is done. If you sit one meal with your mother, and you cheer her up, and you feed her, for me that meal takes you way closer to Allah than an optional hajj. أن أبا هريرة لم يحج حتى ماتت أمه.
Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu went for Hajj only when his mum passed away. Ali ibn Ja'd says that we heard from Amr ibn Maymoon. Amr ibn Maymoon said, "Lamma ta'ajjala Musa ila rabbihi," when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went to Mount Tur and he conversed and communicated with Allah, "Ra'a fi dhillil arsh rajulan." So he seen a person by the throne of Allah. فَغَبِطَهُ بِمَكَانِهِ So Sayyidina Musa envied him. And I always say this, my brother, in the world, I use the analogy of aviation, but you can extend the implications, that you'll be traveling in a common class, be it first class, business, or economy for that matter. Person occupying the same class, a seat next to you, traveling in the same degree of comfort, but he could have paid a very different fare to you. He booked early, he booked on sale, he redeemed his miles, you paid so much more, yet you enjoyed the same level. In the very same way, people in Jannah might be next to you, but each man will have a different action that got him there. What got you here? Oh man, I toiled so much. No, I was just kind to my mother, and my Allah took care of my dunya and my akhirat. Really? Oh, that was amazing. Wallahi, I don't know how many times I've said it about myself. And I say it, I have nothing. But I've seen miracles and I continue to see miracles. And I say to you, this is your quickest, easiest, safest way, guaranteed. Your dunya and deen, Allah will take care of your parents. But become obsessed with their khidmah. Become obsessed with it. Yeah. Take it to another level, where you dream their khidmah. You pray their khidmah. You sleep their khidmah. You get excited when they disturb you. That's an accomplishment. That's a goal, because that's going to turn for you.